Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Heal chapter 12 and verse 1, if you found it, praise the Lord. The Bible says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Look at verse 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." This morning, our message is simply entitled, "The Reach, Helping Others to See the Stars." Helping others to see the stars. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. Ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this word. Let it go forth in power and demonstration of your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, we're so thankful that you're here. Continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. When we leave this place, we will bear much fruit, continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. We pray, and everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I was thinking about the title of this message this week, and I was thinking, you know, it's kind of a, you can look at it in a humorous way, helping others to see the stars. I remember watching the little cartoons on Saturday. Anybody remember Saturday cartoons? And they were the Bugs Bunny, what is his name, Foghorn Leghorn, Elmer Fudd. They were the really good cartoons to me, even though they portrayed some violence, especially with Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. But I always showed a part, Pastor Carl, in that cartoon, if you ever watched it, when they had a head injury. Somebody had a head, if it was a Tom and Jerry, somebody had a head injury, right? And what did they show? They showed stars kind of floating around their head. Now, I was thinking about helping others to see the stars. I don't want that in your life. I don't want any head injuries. I don't want any, you know, things like that. I don't want to help people see the stars in that way. It's like when my little brother, Stacy Allen, he jumped off the top bunk with our big encyclopedia, big thick book like this, and hit me over the head. And I was only 12 years old, and I mean, it knocked me for a loop. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want us to help one another. I want us to help each other see the stars, and I'm going to explain myself in a few moments. But before we begin, I want to talk about this. My first segment is this: tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. That's my very first segment. Have you ever heard of an oyster drill? Anybody that's ever been in the ocean, raise your hand if you've been in the ocean. Been to the beach? Oyster drill. There's a great possibility you may have seen an oyster drill. What is an oyster drill? Well, this is it, and it's going to be on your screen. It's called the ocean whelk. It's also known as an oyster drill. They are large predatory marine snails with thick spiraled shells found in the shallow sandy coastal waters. These whelks, and what is interesting about this, these whelks land on top of an oyster. And what they do is they drill a small hole on top of the oyster. Then over time, it takes some time, but they begin to devour the entire oyster. It is the oyster's worst nightmare, its worst day. Drilling, slowly drilling inside of its shell and consuming its life. Taking gets a life away. And so there's a life lesson I want to share with you just about that simple analogy, this simple scientific truth. The life lesson here is this: the strategy of the enemy wants to land his deceptive lies onto our mind. And what he wants to do, the devil wants to do, he wants to drill out any peace. He wants to drill out any hope. He wants to drill out any joy or any love completely out of our mind. That is the attack of the enemy. And it happens 24/7. It happens sometimes with nightmares while you're sleeping. It happens just maybe in a nonchalant way where you're possibly minding your own business and you're at a supermarket and all of a sudden someone offends you and the enemy is being used over time. He knows that his time is short. He knows that his time is up. He will do everything in his power to try to cause division, disunity in the lives of God's people. And so we've got to guard our mind, amen? We have to guard our mind. Have you ever felt like life has been sucked out of you? Has there been moments in your life when you felt like maybe there was an ocean whelk of some capacity that has just robbed you from your joy, robbed you from your peace, robbed you from your hope, robbed you from the love that God has put in your life? You know, to be transparent with you this morning, almost every day I feel drained. I feel drained because of this ongoing 24/7 chronic syndrome that I'm dealing with. It takes a lot of energy out of me. It takes a lot of energy. There was seasons at times that it produced a lot of anxiety where I was afraid. I can even look back and I thought, Sister Janie, about this just the other day. I thought about when I began to start walking, just simple walking. I would lay in the side of my bed and Sister Linda Merrick was there. Sister Haley was there. They know, they can picture in their mind. Pastor Carl was there. Picture in mind and visualize how I had to overcome this. And I would lay in the side of my bed and I would slowly just stand up. And I would do my best to just walk. And what I would do almost daily, I would get to the foot of my bed and I would just walk holding on to the footboard and walk back and forth as much as I could. And then I would improve. I would have enough courage to begin to walk, trying to walk from my bed to the kitchen. And I would hold on to everything I could hold on to, the walls, the backside of the sofas, to get to the kitchen and to the banisters and get to whatever I could hold on to, the countertops, and just walk and then try to make myself go back. And then I would lay down, and that was exhausting. And then I would step to another level, and I've had more courage, and I would do my best to try to walk all the way from my bedroom clear across the house to the laundry room and try to make it there to help, to try to improve my balance. And there was a day that I remember making that walk, and things were so bad and so fierce and so horrible that I was exhausted, and I just couldn't hang on, and I was afraid. And I remember crashing in Levi's bed and just laying down, and I was weeping, I was crying, I was thinking, God, am I ever going to get through with this? I had days when I'd come in on Sunday morning and Jose would be my crutch. I would lean on Jose and I would say, Jose, can you help me to my place right there in my pew with my pillow? And I would lay down and during the service because I was desperate. I needed help. And I'm telling you, I know what it's like, what it feels like. Life has been drained from you. Been there before. So I guess I can say that I am qualified this morning to talk to you about a truth, about this truth. But I'm going to tell you, people have asked me, and I've heard my wife say this quite often. She would push me in the wheelchairs at the hospitals, and I would wear the yellow band saying I was a risk fall. And she would push me, and I could hear her crying. And I looked behind me, and I said, what's the matter? And she was just bawling because of my condition. And people ask me, they said, how do you deal with this? How are you doing? I still have people asking me that question. How are you dealing with this? And my simple answer is this, is God. That's my simple answer. That's all I can say to them, is God. I did something that I've only done twice since I've had this, yesterday. I drove to Jonesboro. Crystal was with me, but I drove to Jonesboro. You have no idea how big a feat that is where I have came from. Only God. That's my simple answer. God has given me the strength and the ability, and He's healing me every day from what I'm going through. That's my simple answer. I give God all the glory and all the credit for all that He is doing. But my complex answer is this, and I want you to see yourself in this complex answer. My complex answer to how do you deal with this? How are you able to handle what you're going through? My complex answer is this. God is not finished with me yet. God is not finished with me yet. I want you to look at your neighbor right now, because I know some of you are going through some hard times. Some of you are facing some difficult times and moments in your life. But I want you to look at them right now and tell them, God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished with you yet. I'm telling you, allow that to be ingrained in your heart, ingrained in your mind, ingrained in your spirit. When you walk out of these doors to your vehicle today, put your shoulders back and look to this world and say, guess what, world? God is not finished with me yet. My best days are before me. I'm the head and not the tail. The devil had an opportunity to kill me, to destroy my life, but God is not done with me yet. He is faithful to complete what He said He would do in my life. Can somebody say hallelujah? It tells me greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I thought about this concept, this element of truth. Look with me in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1. It's on your screen. The Bible says that again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that Jesus was in the house. I mean, he's grateful that Jesus is in the house. Amen. And verse 2, it says, straightway, or another word, immediately, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And Jesus preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come near unto him for the press, what did they do? They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Extraordinary, extraordinary event. Where you have four gentlemen, friends, as the Bible would probably put it, in a better context, taken a friend of theirs who is stricken with palsy to see Jesus, knowing that they can't get in the normal way, which is probably through a side door or a front door or a back door. They decide to rip the roof apart and lower their friend down to Jesus. Imagine, if you will, in this beautiful cathedral sanctuary and seeing someone pull apart the shingles, right? And lowering someone down to meet Jesus. Oh, that's such a beautiful story. Last Sunday, if you were here last Sunday, we covered a message called The Breach. Today, we're going to be calling this message and covering the idea of the reach. Moving from the breach to the reach. This is what I believe God is calling the church, Gospel Lighthouse. I believe God is calling us to reach out and help someone. God is calling you right where you're at. You're wondering, what is my purpose in life? What do I need to do for God? There you go. Reach out and help somebody. Reach out and help someone. You know, I want people, Pastor Jamie, I want people in my life who are willing, I'm truly willing to tear the roof apart to get me to Jesus. I want those people in my life. I want people that can see where I'm at, and if I'm hurting and I'm stumbling and if I'm withdrawn, if I'm distracted, if I'm having problems, to stay focused. I want people in my life that's going to be a Jose and come up and say, hey, brother, do you need some help? And come up beside me as a Pastor Carl and say, hey, do you want me to help you here? I want people in my life that's willing to tear the roof off to get me to Jesus. How about you? That should reflect in. Who are the people we're hanging around with? Are the people that we're hanging around with, are they strength eaters? Or are the people we're hanging around with, are they strength initiators? Are they people who say, hey, look, you can do it. You can get there. I believe in you. I want to help you. Or are they people that just want to suppress your ideas? People that want to abandon you and just use you for the moment? It's time to align ourselves through the Word of God and reach out to the people that truly that we need. And somebody's waiting for you to reach out to them. Now think about this. At some point, let's just be honest, and I say this in a very vulnerable state, but I say this with truth. I at some point in our lives, we won't need a sermon. At some point in our lives, we won't need a sermon. We will need someone to love us, to embrace us, and to believe in us. Because there's moments preaching what happens? What do you do when preaching isn't reaching, right? And we may, there we go. We got the B3 going with us now. Think about this. We need people in our life that's going to believe in us. Believe in us. Believe in you. If I'm guilty of something, I pray that I'm guilty of believing in you. Believing in the best of you. Believing in God has a great destiny for your life. Listen, times are growing dark. There's no doubt about it. Times are growing dark. But just because times are growing dark and people are fleeting and people are leaving and offended, just because those times are happening in life doesn't mean that you have to. That's no excuse for you to jump on the bandwagon with others. Just because of darkness, you don't have to go through that. Listen to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. That is the element of you reaching out and helping others. Let them see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I shared this with Pastor Crystal this morning. I've been following this Nancy Guthrie thing, and I was one of those millions of people that fell for all of trying to say it in a nice way, but the hoopla that is taking place with the media and the coverage. But I thought about something that was said in Tucson. In Tucson, Arizona, which I've been through there about four times, beautiful, beautiful place in Arizona, there is an ordinance that was passed several years ago in the city of Tucson. The ordinance is called a light ordinance. And this is what they passed. They said, what we want to do, and they voted for this, the city did, and people voted for us, and it passed. We want to get rid of all of the street lights in the city. They got rid of all the street lights. Okay, that wasn't enough. Well, let's make it where people in their homes cannot have any outside big post lights, pole lights. So they got rid of all the lights. Well, I said, well, let's make it even darker. Let's get rid of some of these other lights, like certain lights on intersections and all that. And the reason they do that, they call it a light ordinance, is so at nighttime, the stargazers can see the stars. They said, that's why we want to do this. And then a thought, Sister Linda, hit me. The thought was this. Why would you want to pass such a light ordinance where you make your city vulnerable to the darkness in the land? And immediately God said, it's because men love darkness more than they love light. And so our commission from God is simple. God is calling us to show people the light. Help others see the stars. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Caleb, will you bring me my Gatorade? Look what the scripture says. And at that time shall Michael. Now Michael is the archangel, right? He is the supreme angel that's over the country. Michael shall stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And as that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in a book. And look at the next verse. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Look at verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I find this compelling that Daniel, the prophet Daniel, the one who kept close to him the dietary laws of God and refused to eat the king's meat, Daniel, the prophet, who was wise in the word of God and wise with the Lord,
thrown into a den of lions. And the angel shut the mouth of the lions. Daniel the prophet, who is given these great, amazing visions of the last days. Daniel writes in chapter 12, one of the most phenomenal, phenomenal teachings of soul winning. Before even Jesus walked this earth, and we read about him in the four Gospels, Daniel's already talking about soul winning. This is compelling to me. It's compelling because you see a plan from the very beginning orchestrated by the sovereign God who knew at the very beginning that we would need the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. This is so wonderful to me. When you look at this term wise in that particular scripture, the term wise means this. It means to be prudent and endued with intellect. And so it's a common duty. There's no doubt about it. It is a common duty for everyone in this room, every believer, to promote salvation to the lost. We're all called to reach. No, you may not be called to preach, but everyone in this room, we are all called to reach. To reach the lost. Look at Proverbs 11 and verse 30. It's on your screen. It says, the fruit of the righteous is what? Remember what I said last Sunday? Every time you see that phrase, tree of life, who do we think of? We think of Jesus. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. How many want to be wise? It starts with winning souls. Winning souls should be a part of that in your life. Now, I love this thought, and I read this in my commentary, that the firmament is the blue vault of heaven. And so when we talk about how the heavens declare the glory of God, and imagine you're in Tucson, and I've been there, it's a beautiful place. Imagine there's that light ordinance, but you're able to go out, and you don't have any kind of other lights trying to, you know, wash away what you can see in the heavens, and you see all the stars. And you see the beauty, you can see the Big Dipper, and you can see all of the constellations, and you can see the Milky Way galaxy, and you can see the planets, and perhaps whatever season you're in, you can see the planets. And it's such a beautiful moment. But think about that. That firmament is the blue vault of heaven. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. And I read where a little girl put it this way. The stars are the gimlet holes in the floor of heaven to allow some of the light to shine through. Gimlet holes. Isn't that beautiful? Some of you that are seamstress, you know what a gimlet hole is. You use them with your tying your strings and whatever it may be. And you may be in your belt. I had to buy a tool to make gimlet holes from belts because I've been losing so much weight. And so think about that. You're looking at heaven and those are simply the gimlet holes. Imagine how beautiful and vast heaven really is. The brightness of hell, and no shadow of turning in that place. God is calling the church to reach out and help others to see the stars. How many want to say, I want to be a help? I want to help somebody see the stars. Let's look at five truths real quick to help others see the stars. Number one. Truth number one, you may want to write these down. Number one, be fearful of asking people to do for you only what God can do for you. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches, right? In glory by Christ Jesus. God in His riches. So think about this. What is the driving force causing us to become over-dependent on others? What is that driving force? Why do we tend to have to rely on others? Why do we find ourselves doing that so often? And the simple reason is this, is we yearn to rely on others. It's because our friends, our family, whoever it may be, they provide immediate, visible validation. That's why we do what we do. But he's telling us, my God shall supply all Think about that. All of our need according to His riches and glory. So what do I do then? I need to know. It takes faith to trust God. It takes faith. Faith doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen right then. But you got to trust God that it's going to happen. Look at Psalms 118, division 8 and 9. I've heard Pastor Carl preach on this before. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. In other words, even in our government, it's better to put our confidence in God. Be fearful of asking people to do what only God can do. Number two, truth number two. If you are immune to the praises of man, you'll be immune to the criticism of man. Think about that. I want you to read that. Let that be in your heart. If you are immune to the praises of man, you'll be immune to the criticism of man. See, a lot of people quit. They stop seeing their stars. They stop dead right in the tracks of their destiny because of rejection and because of criticism. Because the people won't accept them. Look here. One of the greatest lessons I've ever had to learn, and I had to learn it the hard way, is people will applaud you when you come, and they'll applaud you when you leave. They applaud when you come, they'll cheer you on, and guess what? They'll cheer you on when you leave as well. Think about that. Sometimes we are our own obstacles, whether our own greatest obstacles. Sometimes we are. Sometimes the reason we fail, and we're going to talk about that here in a few moments, is because we get in the way. We get in the way. We tend to believe at times, we are at times God's gift to humanity, right? We believe that we're a superhero at times. And then yet, there are times that we believe we're the world's worst person. It's a roller coaster. Up one day, down the other day, right? And I'm not doing 6-7, okay, guys? But we're, okay? I want you to see this. Let me just be honest with you. You'll never be able to please everyone. You will never be able to please everyone. Not everyone will agree with you. It's the truth. Not everyone will agree with you. Not everyone will believe in you or even believe you. But not everybody will believe in you. That's the hard truth. People are fickle. People are fleeting. People are flighty. It is the honest truth. If you are immune to the praises of man, you'll be immune to their criticisms. You know what that is saying? You are deflecting praise. You're deflecting the criticism. Why? Because you're giving all the credit to our Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father. Number three, your money, we're going to talk about money. Your money is not as valuable as you may think it is. Your money is not as valuable as you might think. I heard a pastor, and this really got me. Pastor, I heard him recently. He was sharing a given report. And he was holding with him a piece of paper off his giving report. He said that one of his trustees gave him the giving report and said, hey, I want to keep that. And so they made a copy of it. He keeps it with him everywhere he goes. The pastor was sharing, and this giving report was from someone unexpected. He had no clue who this guy is. Never met him, didn't know anything about him, but he carries this. This, what he was holding in his hand, was a check, a copy of the check written out to his church for $200 towards tithes and offerings. $200 towards tithes and offering. But this is the thing. Here's the kicker. The check was from a man on death row. Listen to me. Your money is not as valuable as you think it is. $200, I get it, can purchase a lot of things. It sure can. But it may not be as valuable to someone in prison awaiting their death sentence. Your money is not as valuable as you think it is. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 4. It says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Boy, this is something. You look at all that's happening in the markets. You look at all that's happening in this world's economy. I'm telling you, it's no match for God's economy. God owns it all. It's all His to begin with. So I want you to think about this. It's not a problem. I have no problem. It's not a problem to have money. It's not a problem with that. The problem is when money has you. It's when that's all you're thinking about is making that dollar. So all you're doing is working yourself. We had a great friend that attended church here. Great man of God. I love this man. He was an inspiration to me in some areas of my life. He was my mentor. I had to ask him questions about my own mother, you know, this different seasons of my life. And he's a great man of God. And he looked at me one time and he said, Pastor JC, he said, I have regrets that I spent my entire life working and not watching my kids grow up. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Am I helping somebody today? My prayer is I'm hoping I'm helping somebody to see their stars. And you can help someone see your stars. Your money is not as valuable as you may think. Number four, failure is not final. I'm talking to somebody in this room. Failure is not final. Look at this screen up here. And I have it on here on purpose. I went back today and I put it back on there because I wanted you to see this. Let's look at growth, concerning growth on your screen. This is Henry Ford. Henry Ford said, failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. Wasn't that really good? He failed so many times with his Model A. Let's look at the next one. Winston Churchill, he says this about concerning persistence. He says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. That's such a powerful statement he said to the British people, his military especially, facing what was taking place in World War II. Let's look at Arianna Huffington, what she says about perspective, concerning perspective. She says, failure is not the opposite of success. It's a part of success. It absolutely is. I'm telling you this morning, failure is not final. Failure is not final. Look at Proverbs 24 and verse 16. It says, for a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. What does a just man do? He gets back up. He's rising up. He realizes, I'm just not going to lay there anymore. I'm going to get back up. Falling down is just a perspective. It really is. You know, that's the questions they asked me when I was going to the doctor's appointments. Even when I was in Jacksonville, Florida at Mayo Clinic, that was one of the very first questions they asked. They asked me, have you failed? I haven't fallen. Thank God, right? Because He promised me that He would walk with me. He would run with me. He would be with me. Every step, He would be my strength. Thank God for that. I heard this story. I think some of you would like this since the Super Bowl just concluded. I think you will like this football story. There's a story of a head coach, and he was analyzing tryouts for his new team. He saw one player get hit and lay on the ground. Then the coach said to his assistant coaches and to people that were around, he said, no, not him. Well, then another player he watched got hit, but this player laid on the ground and then slowly got back up. The coach again said, no, not him. Well, finally, this last player, he got hit, he fell to the ground, but immediately got back up. I mean, quickly just got right back up. And the coach said, no, not him either. The assistant coaches stood speechless. They're standing there and thinking, what? How? What? And their mouths are wide open. And this is what the head coach said. The head coach said this, bring me the player who is doing the hitting. I want him on my team. Falling down is just a perspective. I believe some of you, if you fell down, but I believe God is raising you back up. And guess what? You're going to start doing the hitting. you're going to start bringing down the strongholds of the devil. Where the devil said, oh, your marriage is over. Nope. You're going to come up and you're start going to hit the strongholds of divorce. You're going to stand up and some of you that's went through poverty situations and you thought you're bankrupt and you're never going to be able to pay off and you got all this debt, but you're going to raise up. And you're going to do the hitting against that debt. You're going to show people that God blesses a giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Some of you that's been through sickness. Some of you that have went through chronic diseases and illness. And I'm preaching to myself. You felt like you've been hit and you felt down and you're not getting back up. But guess what? You're going to get back up and you're going to do the hitting yourself. You've been told all your life, you'll never amount to be anything. You'll never be successful. You'll just be you'll be addicted to drugs and the alcohol, and you'll just live on the streets. No, you're going to rise up and prove to everybody in the community that the devil is a liar, and you are going to bring forth the fruit of righteousness. Why? Because you trust in a powerful and amazing and an incredible God, and God is turning things around for your life. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Failure is an event, not a person. It's on your screen. Don't be afraid to fall. Don't be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to try. You know who said that? Michael Jordan said that. Don't be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to try. Giving up is the only sure way to fail. Failure is only feedback. It's what it is. It's only feedback. Your failure is not final. Number five, the last one. Truth number five. Bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. I want to be honest with you. This may hit some of you this morning. But the sad reality is people are giving up way too soon. They're giving up way too soon. If it's not moving fast enough for them in their life, then they'll go somewhere else. They'll do something else. If the marriage is not as romantic or whatever it may be, you can talk about dynamics all day long, but people are giving up way too soon. Listen, I want you to know this, and this is the truth, and I'm preaching to myself on this because I had to deal with this here recently. Your obscure seasons are only the soils of preparation. That's just growth. That's all it is. It's a maturation process. It's growth. Look at John chapter 15, because there's a danger in this whole concept of number 5. John chapter 15 and verse 4 says this. It says, abide in me. Everybody say abide. And I in you. So who are we to abide in? We're to abide in Christ. Look what it says next. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And so I was telling Pastor Crystal this morning as we were preparing to come to church, I told her, I said, look, this is the problem. When people are not bearing fruit, guess what happens? Where they're not blooming, guess what happens? They get cut back. God begins to cut them back. Just look at the scriptures. And he cuts back. And it gets painful at times when he keeps cutting. And if it gets to the point where you refuse and your rebellion not to bloom anymore, guess what happens? All that gets cast into the fire. My, oh my. I want to be fruitful. Look at your neighbor and say, hey neighbor, are you fruity? And some of you already know the answer to that question. Amen. It's rhetorical. Let me tell you, I want to be honest with you guys. Disconnecting is a dangerous precedent. I see it. I see it all as these days are growing darker. Disconnecting is a dangerous precedent. You start disconnecting from church. You start disconnecting from family. You start disconnecting from truths, biblical truth, principles. You disconnect from all these. Before you know it, you're disconnecting yourself from the very one that created you. You know, that's the worst. I can imagine. Well, I guess I can't imagine. But Sister Linda Merrick, we talked about this a few weeks ago. But I couldn't imagine what it must be like then in hell, eternal hell, knowing that you had every every opportunity, every attempt, every appeal to just get your life right and follow God and believe in Him and serve Him. But you chose another direction. The worst part of hell must be that memory. Remembering, I could have got it right, but I failed. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Be fruitful and blossom where you're planted. If you continue to disconnect, guess what happens? It can cause you to miss your destiny. It can cause you to miss the great thing that God has already planned and orchestrated for your life. So how do I apply this to my life? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? How can I make this message the reach, helping others to see their stars count for life? Well, I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to do this thing. Are you ready for this? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. I believe the true and pure way to make application of this message is to find it in yourself to help others. Be on your screen, the application. Find it in yourself to help others. Help others. I feel, Sister Charlotte, I'm always finding joy when I'm helping somebody else. I find joy in that. Have I done it all the time? No. I've missed it. I've missed opportunities. But in those opportunities, I find a joy. I saw a gentleman one time. This was about a couple years ago. He was parked kind of next to us, and we were in Jonesboro, the whole family, and he had his hood open, and his car was not working. And I saw him, and I'm struggling. It was early on, struggling with everything that's going on, because I wanted to go in the Hallmark store and buy a card for my beautiful wife. And I was struggling, and at this moment, and I said, and this was before Christmas, and something just told me, just go talk to this guy. And I began to talk to this young man, and I just began to help him. And I asked him, I said, what's the matter? And he said, well, this is my problem. I'm under a court restriction, a court order. I can't start my vehicle until I pass this breathalyzer test that the judge gave me because I have a problem with drinking. He said, I'll be honest with you, I was drinking before I came here. My car won't start. He said, I need some help. And I began to talk to him and minister to this young man and tell him the dangers. And he knew the dangers of it. And I prayed with him and explained to him that what you're doing is very dangerous. Listen, nothing ever good comes out of alcohol. You may think, well, just a little sip for the stomach's sake. I'm telling you, I was raised in an alcoholic home, beat to almost death, burned, hit with hoses and belts, hit with closed fists, watched my mother, the head of her hair grabbed into another room. I could hear her screaming bloody murder. Watched horrible things that I even blocked out of my mind were so bad as a little 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old boy. So bad. Nothing ever good comes through alcohol. You say, well, I'm social drinking. I'm trying to be an intellectual. That's not smart. It's not very wise and prudent. The Bible is very clear in Proverbs about the dangers of that consumption. But I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is you helping others. Find it in yourself to help somebody. I guarantee you today, as soon as you walk this out of this beautiful sanctuary with these beautiful, intelligent, very spiritual, wonderful people, family of God, that you're going to have an opportunity today to help somebody that truly needs help. Because you know what? There are people who play the system. There are people who play, listen, I know it. They play the system. They play it. They know it left and right. They know what to say, how to say it, to pull at the strings of your heart. But I'm telling you, find it in yourself. So when is the last time you truly helped someone? Let's stand together in this room. When is the last time you truly helped someone? Are you willing? Are you willing to tear off the roof to help someone get to Jesus? Are you willing to tear that roof apart and say, hey, I want to get you to Jesus. I want to show you that He is the way, the truth, and the life. What if we all determine today, this morning, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to help others. I'm going to reach out. This is what we're going to do. I want us to get in a group of five, and I know we're coming close to the end of this time restraint that we have on us. But I want you to get in a group of five, and I want you to pray for one another, that you could be an agent of change, a vehicle of victory, a person of destiny. That you can get around with these people and believe together that you're going to see God use them. Maybe you have a loved one that's running from God, and God is going to use you to help reach out to them and help them see their stars. Whatever it may be, and whoever it may be, I believe that God is anointing this time, this moment for us to do so. Will you pray? Will you pray for one another? Call them by name and pray for one another and watch God do amazing things in the lives of His people.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.